Hello and welcome to episode 74 of the Game Train podcast, our Game of the Year 2019 episode, Redux. I'm Callan Davison.
And I am Carl, aka The Lyrical.
So here's the news. We did this on Twitch Live last year, and we lost it, so we're doing it again.
That old ancient podcast tale.
Yes, so we are re-recording this for the people on Podbean out there that didn't get to hear it the first time, so we're going to redo it now. It's going to be a very streamlined episode, but we still thought we should give out our Game of the Year awards and have actually something there so people can listen to it.
Exactly, and so they know what kind of gamers we are. I think that's the important part about a Game of the Year awards section. For, you know, like, it's like, oh man, every publication does Game of the Year. Why do we need so many? And I think it's because if you have fans or followers that hang out with you, they kind of want to know what kind of gamer you are and what did you think was the best version of each kind of category and so on and so forth. So that's why we're doing this for you guys.
Yes, we're doing it again. So we're going to skip the news because all the news is old.
It is old.
So no news, but we will give a quick shout out because I had this written down. We did shout out this person. But because it's gone into the ether, we are going to re-shout him out. It is Desmondus. He is a Twitch streamer. He put together a really cool Twitch overlay for my Pokemon gaming for me. So big thanks to Desmondus for that. You can find him at twitch.tv/Desmondus, spelled D-E-S-M-O-N-D-O-U-S. Go check him out. He streams a lot of Pokemon stuff, plus other random Nintendo games, etc., etc., and he eats lots of chilies and things on stream.
Nice.
Yes, all right. So we should roll into our Game of the Year categories. Here we go. All right, we're going to kick it off first with the best indie title of 2019. And, yes, the best indie titles, those ones from those independent game makers out there that aren't part of a big publishing group, etc., etc. So,
like CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, well, no. Stop. Best indie we have in the category, we have Untitled Goose Game, Outer Wilds, Cadence of Hyrule, My Friend Pedro, After Party, and Void Bastards.
Nice.
Well, and what did you choose?
I feel like, you know what? I feel like we should have done this a little bit later because I really do want to say that the indies might have been the best part of 2019.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it was a really strong year for indies. There's a lot of good games in there. I went with Void Bastards. That came out of nowhere. The art style was so cool. Like, it's similar to stuff we've seen before. It's even more simple again than that cartoony Borderlands look. But it was so super comic-y, but the humor was brilliant. It was like this British crude humor, and it was a dungeon crawl, and you're in space, and I had no idea what it was or where it came from, but next minute I finished the whole thing and started again, and I even played it as soon as last week. So I loved Void Bastards. That was my indie of the year.
Nice. Mine was Honk.
Honk.
Untitled Goose Game from an Australian developer, House. They made this one. Beautiful looking game. You play as a goose. You steal things. It's puzzly, it's a lot of fun, it's very cute, took the world by storm. I can't wait for Untitled Goose Game 2 one day.
Nice, I still have to play that game.
It's very good, you should play it, you really like it.
Okay, it's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass as well, alright.
As is Void Bastards, just so you guys all know.
Well, there we go, gotta love that Game Pass. Alright, best story. Best story category, we have Death Stranding, A Plague Tale Innocence, Control, and After Party.
These are also, like, this is a pretty good selection as well. I mean, you know, like, we keep talking about how it wasn't the strongest year, but it's a pretty good bunch of stories in there.
Yeah.
Granted, there's only four of them.
Yeah.
But still.
Mm-hmm. And what did you go for?
I went with Control. I was just enamored by that game. It was so fascinating. There was such a great mix of, like, humor and eeriness and, like, a bit of action. And there was tense moments. But it was just such a brilliant mix of emotions and such an interesting premise about, like, everyday things in your home and around the world that had super crazy, amazing powers and a secret bureau that was dedicated to finding out what those things did. Like, what? I loved it. I wanted to know more at every step of the way. So I think that's a sign of a good story.
Mine was Death Stranding for me. Nice. I thought the narrativeness was awesome, as always with Kojima games, from start to end, had me sucked in. I loved it. I loved the ending of it. I loved where it went. It was like really, really cool and awesome. And if you have not finished Death Stranding, you should, because it was awesome. It was,
nice stance.
Yeah, no, it was all, and I can't talk about it because I don't want to spoil anything, because the story was very, you know, we know what Kojima's like with all of his Metal Gear games and that.
Again, yeah, all these twists and turns.
Yeah, same sort of thing with Death Stranding. So really, really cool story game that. Big shout out to Plague Tale Innocence though, because that was awesome, but Death Stranding pipped it for this one.
Nice.
Okay, best RPG, best role-playing game of 2019. We have Kingdom Hearts 3, Outer Worlds, Pokemon Sword and Shield, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Final Fantasy 14, Shadowbringers. I can't talk. I can't put that in there because
I know
we are recording this in 2020. I'm finally at Shadowbringers, but I can't count it in that, and I'm very sad right now. Very sad.
It came out that
I know. But I didn't start it till now, and we're keeping this as what we chose for those ones. So
we are. Okay. Well, I went with The Outer Worlds. That was another pleasant surprise. You know, we all knew what it was going to be, but the surprise was that it turned out exactly as they promised, which was just kind of, you know, the makers of Fallout New Vegas, but it was a Fallout game made more streamlined, more simple. It had all the trappings of a good Fallout game. So it had the humor, it had the quirkiness.
It had ladders.
Ouch. Yeah, you climb ladders, unlike other Bethesda games.
Yep.
They were just really, really interesting characters, and I really loved the respect of the build. You know, you chose your build at the start, and the narrative really followed through with that. If you were like a genius scientist or a stupid idiot or a really tough guy, people acted differently, and it really seemed to affect the story, and it was a lot of fun, and discovering that each sort of different path was very interesting. Yeah, I loved it. Outer Worlds.
Nice. Mine was Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is the one how you choose a house and you went to a Harry Potter-like school and you spoke to the students, and it was turn-based combat, which was a nice throwback to the old turn-based combat-style games, which I used to love. It was a really cool game. Like, yeah, interesting characters, cool narrative, and just fun combat. So that's why it got best RPG for me.
Nice. I should play that.
Again, you should. I feel like this is going to be most of the list at the moment. Okay, on to the best multiplayer experience for 2019. Ooh. Ooh, yes, that's right. Multiplayer experience, those ones that you enjoy with friends, or not friends, depending on how you play. We have Apex Legends, Anthem, Division 2, or Tetris 99.
Well, that's an easy one for me. A Tetris 99. From the moment that game dropped, I think, Kellen, you even knew. You're like, well, this is going to be Carl's Game of the Year something. And like the second it dropped, I was jumping up and down around my garage. It was one of those games that got announced at a Nintendo Direct and released at the same time.
I love that Nintendo Direct from Nelago, and it's available now.
Yeah, and it was like not even just as a dumb side game for me. This was a serious contender. And I was like, oh my God, I'm getting this right now. At first, everyone thought this was some sort of a weird joke. Mm-hmm. It was a Battle Royale Tetris game. I was sure they were taking the piss, and they weren't. And it was super fun. And I jumped in and got third on my first game ever. I played it on the phone while Callan was listening, and I was hooked ever since. And I still play that game very regularly, at least once a week.
Wow. Mine was Apex Legends, the Battle Royale game which came out of nowhere. You know, very Fortnite-esque without the building.
That did come out of nowhere. Yep. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so yeah, what I enjoyed about this was just playing it with friends again, just jumping in with teams of three. There was three of us. We're having lots of fun. We weren't very good, but we enjoyed ourselves, and that's the most important thing.
It really is. This is what a game is for, after all.
That's right. So, yeah, it was Apex Legends for me. Division 2 was really cool, but I played a lot of Division 2 by myself, so...
Yeah, it was cool though, wasn't it?
It was. Division 2. It's a very good game. Okay, we are on to Best Artistic Style. And the contenders are Void Bastards, Untitled Goose Game, Control, or Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Yeah, this is an easy one. You can go ahead and answer for both of us. Thank you.
Okay, that would be Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. That's right. It was a remake of the 1993, I think, Game Boy game, which was obviously in black and white back then. But they gave it a full overhaul. Like, they changed the way it looked. They made it like this very toy-like look to it, if that makes sense. It just looked like...
It was like little models, toyetic, very looking. It was like, and a lot of, they did that same thing that they did in Octopath Traveler with the focus.
Oh, with the out of focus up on the high and low parts of the screen, giving more focus into the middle. Everything about the aesthetic of this game was awesome. And
it was shiny and plasticky in a cute way. It was like a diorama type thing. Adorable.
It was awesome. Great looking idea they had with that. And I can't wait to see what they do with their next remake of an old Nintendo classic, if they'll go the same approach or whatever.
They're just so creative in that way, like with all those kind of, even not just remakes, but just remaking games with old characters like the Yoshi games and the Kirby games. And they don't always just go with, like, let's just make a 3D version of Yoshi the End. They try and do something creative with, like, mm-hmm. Arts and Crafts or with yarn or with... Woolly World.
Looter Shooter is our next category. So the popular looter shooter where you kill stuff, get loot, and stuff like that. People love this sort of stuff, as do we.
And it wouldn't have been its own category if there wasn't, like, a whole bunch of games that came out just for it.
That's right. Like, we had best fighting game here, but the only game we played was Mortal Kombat 11, so we're like, well, no best fighting category this year.
Exactly.
So we decided to give Looter Shooter a go. So probably in our 2020 wrap, we probably won't actually have Looter Shooter in there because, yeah, there wouldn't be that many coming out in 2020, I don't think, anyway.
Doesn't look like it so far.
So in Looter Shooter, we have Borderlands 3, Division 2, Anthem, and Destiny 2 Shadowkeep.
Nice.
And what was your looter shooter of the year?
I went with Division 2.
Oh, yes. Why was that?
Well, I just think Division 2 was such a perfect concept of looter shooter. Like, it feels... They feed you the loot in that game just right. I mean, they kind of tweaked a little bit. It you know, came out of the gate a bit rough in part one. But Division 2, it dropped. Remember, it was just so solid.
Yes.
As soon as that game dropped... And it was like right in the middle of a time where game after game, things were getting patched and nothing was working and people were complaining and the loot systems weren't good and shooting didn't feel right. And Division 2, you know, every online sort of big multiplayer type game has its issues. So it did have some, but as a whole, it shocked the community just how well this game ran and felt. The systems were awesome. And even the end game was fun.
Yeah.
And just sort of like... capturing all the points. You had a lot of different little things. Like, the world was full of things to do, unlike, unfortunately, Anthem, which is a beautiful world and nothing to do in it.
Yeah, and it was quite a broken looter shooter when it released, too, and it still got its issues to this day.
Doing its thing. But Division, and it was just so fun. I love the, like, the trickling of loot sometimes can just be done not quite right, but this one, it felt good. You were leveling up the right way. You could help your friends level up if you needed to. And I really love that, by giving them gear that was low power to you that helps them sort of step up and mm-hmm. match you in gameplay. So no one took too long. No one was holding the team back. Just so many little things like that that kept the game solid and great as a multiplayer team game, or you could play it on your own.
And it always felt like there was good progression in the game. Like, you're always progressing towards something, et cetera, et cetera. So
the weapons and the, like, power-ups worked so well with each other. And as a team, you could all choose specifically different parts.
Yeah.
And then you get to choose your speciality weapon so late in the game when you think you've done everything, and the whole thing changes again.
Yeah.
A whole new tree to level up. Oh, it was a Amazing. Love that game. I want to play now.
On to our next category is best graphics. So we talked about the artistic style before, which is like a look to a game. This is actually the best looking game overall.
Yes. I guess, you know, graphics is a tricky one because I guess what we really mean is most lifelike or something, right?
Or the most wow factor. Like you go, wow.
Most sort of like, I don't know. When I see best graphics, I think of most photoreal because, like, you know, I said, wow, when I played games like Gris, but I wouldn't choose that as the best graphics.
No, you'd choose best artistic style.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, yeah. Like, graphics is something else. It's a different kind of wow. It's more like, oh my God, that looks just as real as can be.
Okay, so in best graphics, we have Gears 5, Death Stranding, Control, or Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Well, I went Death Stranding. I thought it was an amazing game. People were like, oh, the open world's so boring. Well, actually, it looks bloody gorgeous. As to the character models and everything in it, I just thought it looked awesome. And yes, that is why I went Death Stranding.
Nice. The character models were pretty amazing, which is probably the one weird thing about my choice. I went with Gears 5 because every step in that game was stunning. Like the world was amazing. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Uncharted 4.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I guess it was just so lush and so beautiful, but then it changed so much and there was like gross, yucky, weird alien worlds and, you know, buildings and stuff and the crumbling buildings and all that kind of thing were just really cool. Everything in that, just every different scene was like a wallpaper and it was just beautiful and there was birds flying around and it was lovely, but the people are so big and weird. I can never get past how those square people of Gears 5.
Yeah, you know? Everyone's on steroids.
Right?
Like everyone.
Everyone. Even young, innocent ladies.
Yeah.
Massive.
Massive.
But yeah.
On to best gameplay. So this is what we thought was the most kind of fun to play in its own right.
Yes.
We had Sekiro, Tetris, Trials Rising, or Control.
Nice, man. I liked so many of these. They, like, the actual gameplay of this whole list was really interesting, really varied, really fun. I went with Trials Rising. I didn't have as much fun with any other game that year. Like, altogether, I spent too many hours. The physics was so wonderful. And I'd get hooked on a 45-second stage for 7 hours.
Wow.
Wish that was a joke.
Well, I went Sekiro, which took your old Dark Souls formula, but spiced it up by adding a jump button and a hook shot where you could like grapple around the stages and stuff.
Yeah, that did feel good.
I felt with that and the quicker paced combat made it a seriously enjoyable experience for me. It was so much fun. As soon as I played it and like up to the first tree, I was like, yes, yeah. This is fun. This is different. Well, not different, but like a twist on the old Dark Souls Bloodborne style of formula, which is normally slow, bit clunky. This felt a lot more smooth and a lot more lighter in the way that you'd move. And it added a lot to that style of game. So that's why I went Sekiro.
Did it let you have just that small little flavor of the missing void that was Spider-Man from 2018?
Maybe. I can't wait for Spider-Man 2.
I know. How good is Spider-Man?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, on to best soundtrack. So this is what we thought had the best soundtrack in a game.
Yes.
That made no sense. All right. So we went with Control, Life is Strange 2, Death Stranding, or Kingdom Hearts.
Yes. I went with Control for this one. Control just... throughout the game, it does this wonderful thing of there's this constant building of weird chants that sound like alien voices in your head, but it was all around this building that the whole game is based inside. And the game is all about eeriness and strange happenings and stuff. It sounds like all this different kind of strange languages and aliens on murmuring and mumbling. But when you turn it right up and listen, you can hear that it's all English. It's just really weird gibberish, and it mixes in with the music and the builds and all the different areas. And then there was like this one specific spot, which I may talk about later in this list, that just the music exploded. The moment was just incredible. Oh man, the music was just 50% of the joy in that game, easily. Control for me.
Well, I went with Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. I don't actually know why anymore.
Well, it must have had great music. I mean, brilliant composer, right?
Yeah, look. it had lots of fun Disney songs. It had cool, eerie music through other bits.
Let it go.
And all that. You know, yeah, look, we'll go with Kingdom Hearts.
It doesn't sound like
one thing they did right was the soundtrack. No, my heart's in it. I understand why I chose it now.
If you ever meet a nice, you know, partner, whether it's a boy or girl, depending on whoever's listening to this, and you ask them out and they go, my heart's in it. I don't know if you'd believe them.
Look, I'd love to put Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers on there, but I can't.
Well, I mean, you can, because you heard the menu music each time.
Yeah!
That was Shadowbringers.
But it's not the same as the in-game music, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very good. No, Kingdom Hearts has a mixture of Disney classics and then also originally composed stuff. And through all that mixture, and they do change up a bit of it as well. Like, the Toy Story theme is all playing in the background, but it's, like, composed a bit differently, etc. Through each world had that. Each Disney world you went to. And, yeah, I think that's why it won it for me.
No, you're good, man. I believe you.
Go away. all right, next up we've got sports racing. We've got Need for Speed. We've got cricket, in brackets here, Carl's choice, okay? Wow. Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, at all trials Carl's rising. Choice.
Okay. So, what did you go with?
I went with Need for Speed. I thought this was an awesome racing game. I love it. It was fun. It was fast. I love the upgrade system, something they got right from the previous one. It was just fun to play. I really, really enjoyed it.
Nice. Well, I obviously went with Trials Rising for all the same things I said before. Just fun. Lots of variety to the levels. The challenge was nice until you reach extreme. And then just stop playing is what I recommend.
Yeah. Extreme got a bit dumb, didn't it?
It always has, though. And when you do beat an extreme level, that's my Sekiro and Dark Souls, is beating extreme levels in Trials Rising. Because I get that feeling where it's just impossible. It is impossible. And there is no way you can jump up this cliff that goes backwards and in onto itself. And then you do it and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I did it. Oh, my God, I did it. And then you take on the next extreme and it's the same again. You're like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like from what people have told me from Dark Souls and Bloodborne, because I just can't get through them, that it's a similar feeling of when I do actually get through the extreme tracks in Trials Rising.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Next up, we've got the best world to explore. So, yes. You know, games where you go out into that world and you're like, wow, this is really cool to walk around in. I want to see more of it.
Yep, great description.
We've got Outer Worlds, Death Stranding, The Outer Wilds, or Days Gone. Yeah, Outer Worlds and The Outer Wilds was confusing.
And they came out so close together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so weird. I went with Outer Wilds.
The Outer Wilds?
Just the one that's not worlds.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got
that. The one about when you're in space and you jump from planet to planet.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Wait, that's Outer Worlds.
That's both of them. The one I mean is the one where you're in your little rickety spaceship, kind of made of wood.
Okay.
You're looking for your friends that play harmonica and all different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
That game was charming as hell, and it was such a joy to discover each planet. They're made in such a weird way. It's not like, it's not as big as, say, a planet in Outer Worlds, and it's not quite as small as a planet in Mario Galaxy, but it's somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this like completely discoverable sphere, and they're all designed beautifully with different biomes and concepts, and there's ways that they're designed that just to describe them would be a spoiler. So like, which that in and of itself is the reason this to me is the best world to explore, where you can't even describe the landscape or you'd spoil the game, because that is half the joy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I loved Outer Wilds.
I went with Death Stranding. I thought
was it the gray hills or the green hills you liked the best, or the white ones?
Did you finish it?
No.
Exactly. So I thought it was such an interesting world to explore that I felt like every time I went somewhere, okay, you said it's very plain, but it was fun to explore and find new ways to traverse the environment. That's what made it so great to explore. And then coming back through with your new added tools of exploring the environment, like flying fox things.
Right. Okay. So I'm more going with like fun world to see, and you're more going with fun world to traverse.
Which you're doing as you explore.
As you are when you see it. But I think they both work in different ways.
Yes. Yeah. So that was best world to explore was Death Stranding, because it was awesome. Go play it.
Nice. Well, you know, it's funny because my game is terrible to actually explore in traversal, because that spaceship is awful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had my spaceship in your world, it would be so bad. But if we had your traversal in the Outer Wilds worlds, it could be the best game ever made.
Wow. All right, on to the best new IP. We've got Control, Sekiro, Death Stranding, Outer Worlds, or Days Gone.
Nice. I went with Control. I just fell in love with that game, in and out. I finished it and kept playing it and did all the little side things that you could do. And that, to me, just screams how much I love a game if I jump straight back in after the credits, because I can't bear for it to be over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine was Sekiro. I thought there was a great sort of way that From Software went, you know, different style. Like, the other ones have been like very medieval Victorian style games. This was, you know, more samurai style. We haven't had a samurai, cool, fun, exploring samurai game in a while, since Ninja Gaiden, I think.
Or Neo?
Neo, yeah.
Which is kind of exactly, even a little bit, Dark Souls. No, you keep going. I'll wait here. Well, what were you saying there?
I liked the IP. It was fun. I like what From Software did with it. Leave me alone.
It's good, though. You couldn't... There's no hookshot in Neo, is there?
No.
There you go.
That's right. Go. Okay, we're going to go onto the best remake. We've got Resident Evil 2 remake. We've got Link's Awakening. We've got Crash Team Racing. For those Crash fans out there, I know you're out there somewhere.
There's someone out there.
And we've got Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
Nice.
So I went with Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yep.
As did I. What they did from this old school classic, what was it, 99, 2000, around that?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. Like, just the way they've taken the same... Okay, what is a remake? It's when you take a game, but you change it up enough that it feels like a new game. It's not like a remaster where you just update the graphics a little. This ground-up remake, you are exploring the same areas, doing the same puzzles, but it looks gorgeous. They changed the way the camera works.
They modernized it.
Modernized it, etc., etc. It was awesome. It was very, very awesome.
Yeah, and like to that point of you saying like they make it feel like a new game, I also... I think it's just so amazing how they make it feel like a modern game, but still feel like the old game.
Yes.
Like, but how you remember it.
Yeah,
as your youth.
There's a fine line between all of that, how it goes. Yeah. Like, and Link's Awakening, again, same sort of thing, and it made it feel like a modern game.
Yes, but see, and the difference is Link's Awakening, while such a beautiful looking remaster or remake, you are playing it like screen for screen, exact same stuff, same people doing everything same, whereas RE2, like Resident Evil 2, I should say, you're in the essence of that same game and reliving that memory while doing it slightly differently in like, it's so fun that it's really that thing where they reimagine it, as in almost like if you think of like the olden days before writing and having to tell each other stories and pass it down from generation, it kind of feels like that, like you're telling someone about Resident Evil 2 who's too young to remember the janky old one, but you're saying like, okay, then there was this level and this is what happened, and they would picture it exactly how the new Resident Evil 2 looks.
I was gonna say it's like Disney, how they have the old cartoons and they've turned them into like movies, but
those are not good and the old cartoons are just so much better. In every single way.
Lion King?
Are you serious?
I'm joking.
Oh my god, I nearly had to go find a new host.
Wow. So we've got down here coolest character.
Oh, yeah, this is
good. Okay, so for coolest character. All right, here we go. We have Dante from Devil May Cry 5. Yep. We've got V from Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah,
we have Nero from Devil May Cry 5.
Yep, yep.
And we have that girl from Devil May Cry 5.
Nico.
Nico from Devil May Cry 5.
That girl. Wow, you're the worst.
Everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Of course, I certainly do. Yep, so obviously coolest character is the cast of Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah.
We had to put it in there because they were all so awesome. And the reason is, for the 2018 Game of the Year, we had a coolest character segment, and there was all different characters from different games. And this year we tried to do it as well. And we just kept on thinking, like, what about this person from Devil May Cry 5? Oh, what about this one? Oh, we can't use all of them. We can only pick one. Well, what other game is cool? I don't know. Maybe Sekiro? Nah, let's just make it all.
Exactly. It's like 5. You couldn't really pick Daryl from, or Sam from Death Stranding because he wasn't that cool.
It's Daryl.
You couldn't pick old mate from Days Gone because he wasn't cool.
Yeah, like Sekiro might have been the closest other game to join in here, but it's just those characters.
Couldn't pick Link because Link's never been cool.
No, except that one time when he was like, "Well, excuse me, princess."
That's right. And then like Anthem, you play as the guy.
Yeah, some guy.
Yeah,
some girl.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, coolest character is Devil May Cry.
Probably. Oh no! I was about to try and choose one, but they're all so cool in different, completely different ways.
Yeah,
all good.
All right, on to best boss fight. We have Tyrant from Resident Evil 2, Big Frog from Star Wars, the Ape from the Ape from Sekiro, or Xehanort fight Kingdom Hearts.
Nice. I went with the Big Frog. Man, we should have the real name
here. The Big Frog.
No. Sorry to any of the Star Wars fans listening. They must be like, well, you couldn't have liked the fight that much.
Well, it was just everyone knows what the Big Frog is, though, if you say it to them.
Oh, yeah. You know that, especially when you first see it. That's kind of when you first get that hint that, like, oh, wait, this is a Souls-like game.
Exactly.
Especially when you run into the one that you're not supposed to really fight yet, and then you defeat it early. And
yes.
It just feels really cool. It's like a bit challenging, but you can get it done. But you're doing it with the lightsaber, so it changes everything. And that fight was just so exciting. It's one of those things in games where I think any fight that you're not kind of, you know, you're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
But you can just get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing those in old Final Fantasy games, and they make you just feel so awesome. And yeah, that was my favorite boss fight.
Mine was the Ape from Sekiro.
Nice.
Just because everyone's like, oh, this Ape boss is so difficult. I was like, oh, wow, I can't wait to get this Ape boss in because it sounds hard. Get to the Ape boss, fighting him. I'm like, this ain't that hard. I'm watching his life go down. His life gets to zero. I kill him. The kill screen comes up and everything. I'm like, well, that was... And then next second, this parasite comes out of his neck and he gets back up and you go for round two. And then it kicked my ass over and over and over again. And I would... After I beat it, and it was so much fun, like, beating him, I'd go onto Twitch and find people around at the same spot and just wait for their reaction when the ape gets up again.
Because
it was gold every time.
Oh, that would be great to watch. That's a clever thing to do.
Yeah.
I never thought of using Twitch in that way.
Yeah, it's just people's That's reactions be like, oh, what? You know, because they like smash it first go and they're like, wow, yes, I'm getting good at oh my God, no.
Oh, jeez. I guess spoiler warning.
Oh, game's been out for a year now. It's all right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, best experience in a game over the year.
Yes, easy. Mine was the Astray Maze in Control.
I hadn't even read out the categories yet.
Oh, no. I see how excited I was.
Okay, I'm going to go again. Best game experience. So this is when we talk about the bit that we're like, wow, this is awesome, and you can't wait to tell people about that experience.
Exactly.
So we have Trials Rising Competitive. That's when we're in the Trials Rising school, and we're all trying to get A pluses on tracks.
Yes.
And we're all on voice. And
Billin.
Yeah, Billin. Billin Bees. B B's for villain. We're all getting A pluses.
We're all getting A pluses. Our friend Dylan could only get a B in one specific race. So we called him Billin with a B instead of a D. And he eventually passed it, but he never lived it down.
No, the name stuck. The next one is Callan beating the final boss of Sekiro. Well, this is your highlight of the year, obviously.
Yes, I loved it.
Loved it when I beat the last boss of Sekiro. Again, such a tough fight. 100 plus tries on it, you know. Beating 100 plus tries. Next up, I've got here written Carl's control thing.
Yep.
And when I went and read these notes again, I'm like, what control is Carl talking about? Did he get like an awesome control?
Oh, I mean, I did, but that was Christmas time. I guess that was a pretty good experience now that I think of it. We recorded this before that, but my friend Degs did get me the Elite 2 controller, which could be Carl's control thing.
Yep. And we've got the double lightsaber moment in Jedi Fallen Order when you pull out your double lightsaber for the first time.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
So, Carl, what was your best experience of the year?
Jeez, well, now that I'm calm, the ashtray maze in Control.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. That part is what I alluded to earlier. It just caught me by surprise, which is hard to say because once you play Control long enough, you kind of learn to expect the unexpected, and this still surprised me because you come across this maze earlier and you can't get through it, and then you keep playing through. Spoiler warning, press the little skip 30 seconds button right now if you want to skip spoilers.
Oh, no, I don't want spoilers.
Ashtray Maze. Ashtray Maze is very fun. Won't spoil it. I won't spoil it for Callan.
Good, thank you.
I want Callan to face it. It's very good.
Mine was Carl's control thing.
I thought so. The Elite?
Yeah, I was very excited. No, beating the final boss of Sekiro, as I said before, 100 plus tries, just being able to finally do it, get the fight right. And on the try that I got it right, I felt like I was going to get it, you know? And then...
Oh, that's always a good feeling.
Just the relief afterwards to finally have done it. It felt great. I was happy. So that was my best experience gaming-wise of 2019.
Nice.
Okay, on to the best ongoing game. This is one of those games where there is constant content coming out for these games.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's through patches, expansions, game as a service, blah, 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 blah. You know, we know what all that's all about. So we have Final Fantasy XIV, World of Warcraft, Destiny, and Overwatch. Well, this one was easy for me. It was Final Fantasy XIV.
Same.
Like,
I mean,
too easy. Probably my best ongoing game of 2020 as well, I'd say.
It just might be. Like, we got it. I spent, 6 months with it. And I even still now haven't played much of it. I was away on tour for so much of that time. And still I spent over 300 hours on it. So.
Wow. Yeah. There's so much content there, and it's
so good. And you can play so much of it on your own. It's not even an MMO.
Exactly.
We figured it out the other day. It's
yeah.
a Final Fantasy game full of story and music and brilliant gameplay and fighting that you can also play with friends in dungeons.
Exactly. And there's three expansions for this game now out. I'm expecting a fourth in 2021, so I'm expecting that to be announced this year because they seem to come out in 2-year intervals. And even if it finished after the next expansion, because I feel like it won't end after Shadowbringers, and if that game released and it just had the four expansions, I think I'd be fine with it. I think that's long enough. Warcraft, I think, is up to 8, coming on to 9 expansions or whatever. It just gets a bit too much bloat for your story. And
they start repeating things.
Yeah, so... Well, this one has had a continuous, you know, story throughout the whole game, going across the expansions, overarching story with other threads going in between, and they just keep adding new stuff. Like, as we speak at the moment, they've just released patch 5.2, which is continuing the story post-Shadowbringers, which will eventually lead into whatever the next expansion will be. So, yeah, best ongoing game, Final Fantasy XIV. Let's roll into the biggest letdowns now.
Let us do that.
Okay, we've got Xbox and their exclusives of 2019.
Oh,
we've got no PlayStation at E3 or a PSX.
Oh, and again this year, by the way.
And again in 2020. I reckon I'll have a PSX this year, surely.
Yeah, but then what else are they not going to that they just announced?
They pulled out of PAX East, but that's due to coronavirus.
Oh, right. That's out of their control.
And we also have Anthem as our biggest letdown, and also Kingdom Hearts 3 as our biggest letdown.
Yes.
So, Carl, what was your biggest letdown?
Well, my biggest letdown was Anthem. I was so ready. I was so hype. And then it was such a letdown because even when it came out, unlike some of the other letdowns, I didn't know it was a letdown yet because it felt exactly like I hoped it would. It was amazing. We were all in there together and all playing it together, and I loved it. And then I continued to love it. And then I had 50 great hours of gameplay, like a great action game. So as that, it was fine. But as like an MMO, ongoing game, all of the community just dispersed and disappeared, and there was no reason to play anymore. And then you kind of, once they left, you could see the empty world for what it was. And it was really sad to see that happen again to BioWare right after Andromeda.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that really sucked, especially for a game with so much replayability in its actual physical gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hopefully it comes around after they do the big fix. I mean, it happened with Final Fantasy 14. It happened with Destiny 1. There's been a lot of ongoing games that have been absolute rubbish and then have come around to becoming really, like No Man's Sky.
Mm.
So I'm hoping for something like that. But yeah, that was my biggest letdown.
Mine was Kingdom Hearts 3. Now, when you got a game that's been building up for a decade
or more,
you're wanting something awesome, something special. Kingdom Hearts 3 didn't deliver that for me, sadly. It was a good game. It wasn't a special game.
And 1 and 2 were so special.
1 and 2 were so special. It just felt like it just... I don't know. I feel like they could have done so much better with the story, the worlds. Like, we're showing every friggin' world before the game came out. They dropped big spoilers in their trailers. They overshowed the game. I feel there should have been more worlds. And it was okay. Like, it was good. It wasn't mind-blowing. So,
no.
For a game that had been in development for that long, and the hype and the build-up for it, and then when I played it, I was like, oh, this is all right. This is good.
This wasn't memorable, too, in that way.
No, it wasn't. So, yeah, that's why that was my biggest letdown this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. I completely understand that. That's a different kettle of fish with my one, because at least, I mean, Anthem, I suppose, is a new IP, so there's not that heavy, heavy fandom and expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kingdom Hearts had so much riding on it. Hopes mm-hmm. and dreams of some people.
Could you imagine Half-Life 3?
Oh, there's just no way. It would never. I completely and utterly understand why that game doesn't exist. There is no way you could reach the expectations of half the gamers for the pedigree of that game and make them satisfied. It's genius that they don't release that, because the only way that 1 and 2 and episode 1 and 2 for 2 continue to have that love that they have is because 3 never came out. Imagine if the final season of Game of Thrones never came out. It would be the greatest TV show of all time.
Yeah, and people would be talking about how great the next season of Game of Thrones could be.
Yeah, if it ever released, but, you know, something happened or whatever, like, you know? And then, but now because, and it does a weird thing where because that exists, it makes the rest bad, even though nothing happened to the rest.
No.
The rest stayed the same, but now it's like in Game of Thrones or like in Kingdom Hearts, you just go like, when you play it all, you're like, oh, well, that story's just not worth.
Yeah.
You wouldn't recommend it to a new person. Like, should I play Kingdom Hearts, you know, the series? Like, no, I mean, I guess you could play the first ones age well. I mean, they age pretty rough, like in the graphics. And then the beautiful one that you end with is subpar, so you just... It ruins the rest, so...
Yeah.
You know what? My biggest letdown is Kingdom Hearts 3 as well, after all that.
Oh, stop it. Okay. All right, let's roll on to the game of the year. That's right. Ooh. This is when we say what our game of the year was for 2019. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games written down here.
Well, I have more than that. I have 6, 7, 8.
Wow. Well, I've got 5 written down here, and I'll start from the top, okay?
Wait, you want me to do my 8? No. Why do I have 8?
I don't know. Just a sec. Okay, so we've got Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 14, and Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 14. Oh, wait, no, I can't choose that. Damn it. Sorry, guys. No, actually, I've got the other revised list here. We have Control, Sekiro, Death Stranding, Tetris 99, A Plague Tale Innocence, Trials Rising.
RE2 and Mario Maker 2.
Okay. Yes. Cool. Thank you for that. They weren't on this list for some reason.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but there we go. So that is our contenders this year. So, Kyle, what was your game of the year?
Man, this was a hard one, and I copped a little bit of flack from peers, which is a strange thing to get from the beautiful gaming community of connectedness and friendship.
It seems like this is like a theme running through here. Kyle's game of the year is controversial.
It's not even about that. I never wanted to be controversial, but you know what? I do. Before I mention it, I do want to give a shout out to Mario Maker 2, which didn't win anything in this whole list, but it was a pretty magical part of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
That game really did deliver.
If it had to come out in 2020, we could have put up against Dreams for best creator mode in a game.
Right?
Mm.
Which I think it would have got smashed, though. Dreams looks pretty...
That was a
magic game, and I just wanted to give it a shout out because it was really cool. If you guys haven't played that and you're into any kind of platformer whatsoever, please play this, whether you're into creating or not, even if you never touch the creative thing, which I only ever touched it once to make the lyrical ad, which is how I roll.
Yeah,
I'll try and make one for Dreams maybe, but my actual game of the year was Trials Rising.
Wow,
that's right. You know, it was really, really close between that and Control.
Yeah,
Control was just a really interesting, wonderful adventure, and the gameplay felt really cool. It had that really cool sort of Star Wars-y vibe with the Force powers that you learn. But Trials Rising was just so much fun for me. I think the actual feeling of playing it, they nailed the physics engine so beautifully. They always have in the Trials games. But in all the Trials games, the tracks and the sort of art and the vibe hasn't always been quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have nailed it, some haven't. But Trials Rising was just so fun, such a beautiful game to play. And I would just get lost in for hours and hours. I could talk to my friends on chat and socialize. I could be on the phone. I could be listening to a podcast. Or I could be all in listening to the crazy sound effects and music while playing these really, really fun levels. Yeah, Trials Rising.
Cool. Mine was Gris.
Good. I agree.
Yeah. It looked great.
It was emotive.
Then you walk around and
it teaches you to deal with the loss of a parent, and it's very heavy and a lonely world as a girl. I understand.
There's a bird.
Yeah, the music builds with the whole story as a linear thing. Yeah, I completely get it.
And that's probably about amazing. It looks
she
okay.
Loses her voice just like I did, so it really connects in a deep level. I get it. I totally get it.
Like, it looked okay. It played okay.
And this has been Game Train.
No, it hasn't. All right, so in all seriousness, I didn't choose Gris's game of the year because it's not.
That was last year.
No, for you maybe, but not for me or a lot of other peoples out there. I've spoken to other people on the subject and they agree with me. Thank you very much.
Oh my god. I feel so uninincluded. I thought this was an inclusive gaming community.
Yeah, I know, even though it's your choice, we're gonna still hang stuff on you for it.
Wow.
Okay.
This feels like my ancestors. Anyway, keep going.
So we're going with Death Stranding as my game of the year. I thought the narrative was awesome. I thought the game looked great. I found the gameplay fun, even though some people thought it was tedious, but I loved just getting out there, exploring the world in different ways, as I mentioned before, building roads for other people, using other people's roads. The boss fights were fun. So it had all these different ingredients, and for me, that's why it was game of the year. Just beat Sekiro, just. Only because it had a better storyline.
Okay, story, that'll do it.
So that's what tipped it over the line for me. Even though the moment-to-moment gameplay is probably more fun than Sekiro, I think Death Stranding just pips it just for the 50-hour storyline.
Yeah, see, that's funny. Like, our two games that we're umming and ahhing between, like, mine is Control and Trials Rising. And Control, obviously, it had a beautiful story, and Trials Rising doesn't have any story.
Dude, I thought Trials Rising had a great story.
But I was just saying, for our selection, like, you went with story just over gameplay, and I went with gameplay just over story.
Yep.
Which is a bit, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I usually lean towards story, but I think I just spent too much time on Trials.
Yeah, nah, fair enough. All right, well, we are coming to the end of the episode. Apologies to those that did write in and say what their hype and lame train was for 2020. We have lost that. We've read it all out on the original, but the stuff's not in my notes here for some weird reason. So
if you can find our Game Train branded time machine, jump right in there and go on back and have a listen.
Yeah,
pretty cool. There's some really good Lame, Love, and Hype trains.
But we apologize for that, so we're going to just move on to our own. So first up, we have the Lame Train. Okay, Carl, what is your Lame Train for 2019?
Now, this one, I didn't have it in my notes, so I had to write a new one.
Oh.
And my lame train for 2019 was the game of the year of 2019. It just, I love Trials. I had a great time. But, you know, it wasn't Spider-Man or God of War or Gris, and it didn't touch my heart, and it didn't have that kind of magic. I don't know. It was just a great bunch of variety of games, but it was like, I don't know, they were great games, not amazing games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was just something about 2019 that always just felt, every single game felt like there was a little piece of magic not quite there.
Okay, yeah, wasn't like the tens of 2018.
No, and like, we, you know, we've barely even started this year and we've already got a game that a lot of people have given a 10.
Yeah. Mine was all the delays and all the announcements throughout the year of it's coming out in 2020 or it's been pushed back to 2020, blah, 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 blah. And it got really grating after a while. And as you said, it was quite an average year. And I feel if a Last of Us 2 or a Cyberpunk or a Final Fantasy 7 remake, any of those had to come out in 2019, they probably would have almost taken Game of the Year.
Yeah, that's really true.
And it was just sad to see all this stuff like slowly push back and slowly being announced for 2020. Like, 2020
Watch Dogs was about to come out.
Yeah, and just stuff like that. You know, it was a bit of a, not a sour year, but it just wasn't as great as 2018 was. So, you know, looking at 2020 now, where we're in now, you know, all those delays, all those games eventually going to come out soon. So it's going to be like a lot of fun, etc. But
hopefully they've all been delayed yet again.
They've all been delayed yet again. But, you know, hopefully they all do come out and then I'll be a bit more happier at the end of it all with like our 2020 Game of the Year episode, which will hopefully be a friggin' Battle Royale deathmatch between
Cyberpunk,
Last of Us 2, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, Elden Ring, and hopefully Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 just for kicks.
Oh, yeah. Even Doom Eternal will be in there for, like, I'm sure it's going to win some gameplay stuff.
Or Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, what a year this is going to
be. Oh, my God, it's so exciting. All right, let's roll into our Love Train while we're all happy.
Yes. Love Train. This one is pretty easy.
Okay, what's your Love Train after you spoke of my sound effect?
Oh, man, we got to figure out a better system.
Okay.
Because
yeah, I will put I'll put a thumb up when the song's playing, and when it finishes, I'll drop the thumb down.
Yeah, that's good. Callan has these sound effects that play. I don't hear them. He gets the joy and the wonder. This is what happens when he records in Melbourne and I record in the Gold Coast.
Yep.
I just sit here, and suddenly he goes quiet for a bit, and I think, "What's going? Is he like softly farting?"
Well, normally it goes, and here's the lame train, and then I go quiet as the sound effect plays, and then I go, "So, Carl, what's your lame train?"
Yeah, but sometimes he does it too smoothly. Like, you know what, guys, we might just roll into the love train, and I'm like, "Yeah, we just he's doing a thing, generosity."
Yeah,
generosity.
Oh yeah.
Just generosity. Just every time we do anything to do with generosity, that has been one of the most incredible, amazing experiences of my and I think our entire game career, mm-hmm. you want to call it, within, you know, inverted commas. It's just these guys at Generosity and us guys at Generosity, you know, being brought into and given the epic honor of being part of that team has just been like one of the best things I've ever been involved with, period. Just by being able to sort of, I don't know how I'd even put it into words, but it's kind of created a way visually and that I can express in front of people as an activity what I've been trying to live through this whole gaming concept and the gaming industry and talking to different people on different radio stations. And it's the point that gaming can be a positive and beautiful influence in the world and in a community. And the team of Generosity proves that by doing their guerrilla charities and raising money with nothing but joy and streaming video games and the concept of gaming, bringing people together to do something good. And I love being part of that. And I can't wait to see what else we can do with it.
Mine is also the whole PAX 2019 experience from doing my own panel through to Generosity. So Carl spoke on Generosity's end, which I say the same things. But yes. I also hosted my first panel at PAX.
With and he was awesome.
The Four Sega guys, Four Sega guys, old Sega Masters from back in the 90s. We did a chat on stage, which was awesome fun. So yeah, that was my love train for 2019. Pretty much Generosity and that PAX panel I did.
Nice one.
Okay, we're going to now roll into the hype train. It didn't work. Sorry, I'm going again.
Oh my goodness.
It's not saying hype train, it just plays the music. I don't know. All right, we're going to roll over that. I'm going to have a look at that. All right, so Carl, what's your hype train?
Hey, my hype train. You know, I want to say, and it seems obvious, the big two new consoles coming out. That's what I think it is. But my brain doesn't care. My brain is just like, give me Cyberpunk 2077. That is all my body and my brain and my soul cares about. I've lost a lot of money from shifting dates and expectations of that game coming out.
But now you might have a cool, fun weekend anyway that weekend.
Way cool. But yeah, I keep thinking, obviously my hype train is a PS5 or Xbox Series XW12345 up, down, left, right, Konami code. But every time I think of what I'm excited about, I just want to play Cyberpunk 2077. That's my hype train.
Mine is next generation coming. So it's always fun when a next generation comes out. Like, you know, you don't know what to expect. You don't know who's going to take the lead. There's a lot of speculation leading into the gen, like waiting for the launch titles. Everything around that is just a lot of fun. And that's what I'm hyped for. Just that build up towards the next gen. Who takes the lead this time and everything that comes along with it. So, you know, it only comes around once 7 or 8 years. So it's kind of an exciting time.
Yeah, this is very true. Having said that, I'm so nervous and I hope they come out both this year. There's a little bit of scares with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
It's pushing a lot of things back, especially with electrical things made in China.
Mm-hmm.
Which is most of what's inside these consoles.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit worrying, but what's more worrying is the actual lives and health of people suffering with coronavirus. So
yeah.
It needs to be moved back. It needs to be moved back. But I hope for those people's health, and I hope in turn that also means we get these consoles.
That's right. But yeah, that's pretty much a wrap on our Redux Game of the Year episode. Sorry about losing the original people. It was a lot of fun doing that on Twitch, but we lost it and I learned a valuable lesson from that your VODs only stay on Twitch for 2 weeks.
Yes, we're new at all this.
Yeah.
And we're learning every day.
But, you know, as we mentioned, Twitch, we do broadcast on Twitch our podcast now. So you can see our updates on facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast or Twitter @GameTrainTalk to find out when we are going live with the podcast, which is on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/GameTrainTwitch.
Yes, and I'm also sometimes on there at twitch.tv/the_lyrical. It'll always be hosting that as well, but if you want to join the conversation, jump into the Game Train Twitch one.
Exactly. All right, guys, we're going to finish this one off now. It was fun redoing our Game of the Year again.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more content and fun stuff soon, guys, so have a good one. Anything else, Carl?
That's everything. Thank you very much, and let's rock and roll and do this all over again in 2020.
All right. And this has been Game Train.